Blog Talk Radio.
I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got that string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. I've got a song that I sing, I can make the rain.
Welcome, America, to Breaking News Journal on Air, the only radio program in the country that works on issues that really concern the heartland of America. Today is no exception, as I always say, because all of our guests are very special guests. I don't have just anybody come on Breaking News Journal on Air Radio. We have only the best in the heartland of America come on. And today we're going to have Sharon, CEO, publisher of Post and Email. Her name is Sharon Rendeau, and we are going to have her on today speaking about her publication, how she got started in her publication, and how she, I looked at her site, and I'm telling you, you want to go to the Post and Email. She has it set up so well, and I know she would welcome all you guys checking her out. And I believe we have our guest on with us now. Sharon, are you there?
Yes, I am, Ruth. Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. Listen, I looked at your site, and it is a wonderful site, the way you have it set up. I mean, you really did some real good work on there. And I wanted to find out, I know our listening audience is paying attention. I have the chat room up so people can chat together. But I wanted to have you on, Sharon, because the Post and Email was set up by Mr. John Charlton at first, right? And then he departed in 2010, as I understand. I wanted to find out
that
from
is correct.
You.
He was, excuse my voice in advance, I'm getting over a bad cold, but most of it seems to be out now. But Jeff Charlton was actually a prolific writer, and he was working on many projects. And after he started to post an email as a WordPress blog, back in August of 2009, there were so many, as we call, hits, you know, internet hits on it, that he converted it to an electronic newspaper on December 1st of that same year. And then he found that it got so big, so fast, that it took a lot more time to run it than he had figured that it would. So in the spring of 2010, which was just about exactly 3 years ago, he asked, it was a bunch of us. He asked who would like to run this. And originally he had thought that it would be a group of us. And one by one, people just kind of, I guess you could say, chickened out. And I said, well, you know, I'll do this because I think this is a really important newspaper. I think it's an important mission. It's not so much that it's the newspaper, but it's a mission. And I really wanted to see the newspaper grow and flourish. And I can really see that coming to pass now.
Absolutely. You can definitely see that. As I was doing your bio and your profile information, and you talked about being the first groups to go and confront the cabinet of the state of Nevada on behalf of, against Obama to find out where his roots are and things like that. And I wanted to find out from you if you could give us some detail on what happened and what that experience was like.
Yes, certainly, I'd be glad to. That was actually Mr. Charlton's primary mission when he set up the blog, was to begin asking very probing questions of the Hawaii Department of Health as to where this information was that Obama was purportedly born in the state. At that time, I think many of us who were following the questions that had arisen about Mr. Obama's background were wondering if he was born there, if he was born overseas, if there was any evidence anywhere of where he was born. This all arose from, of course, Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 of the United States Constitution, which states that no person except the natural-born citizen shall be eligible to the office of president. There's a big question, of course, that's grown out of that as to what that means. What does natural-born citizen mean? But to get back to your question, we asked the people in Hawaii, where can we find, you know, evidence that he was born there? And they really clamped things shut and said, well, we have all kinds of privacy laws and we can't release that information. And then people sent many letters and many what they call UIPA requests, because they're open records laws called UIPA. And they just weren't getting anything. No one was getting anything. Or people were getting lines and lines, pages and pages of emails that just didn't add up to anything, saying that he actually had a legitimate birth certificate there. Mm-hmm. So, of course, that made people much more curious and much more skeptical even that this was true, that he was born there. And so then Mr. Charlton started this Hawaii petition campaign. We sent two mailings. The first one was a very, very complete mailing. I remember doing it here and bringing it off to the post office with boxes and everything, and we took pictures. And I think it took three boxes and quite a bit of money to send to Hawaii. And we petitioned every single cabinet official. At the time, Governor Linda Lingle was in charge. And we don't do politics, so we don't care what party anybody is, you know, is from. She happened to be in charge then. And we got very few responses. We got a few, but they all directed us back to the Hawaii Department of Health saying, well, they're the ones who are the custodian of the records.
Wow. Wow. Well, what did they – I mean, and so they just – they really bounced everybody around is really what happened.
They did. And there were a few people who were, you know, very avid readers of the Post and email at that point, and they were really following up and following a very logical, courteous line of questioning and saying, well, okay, you're telling us that there's birth index available. Well, where can we find that? Because they have several books that are called birth indexes or indices.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Now, the interesting thing, that brings up a very interesting thing that we found out later. Mm-hmm. The birth index book that the Department of Hawaii Health Department has is, they're classified in five-year groupings. And the one in which Obama's name now appears is the 1960 through 1964 birth index. And there's something different about that book than all the other books. We helped to send a researcher out there, and prior to her visit, there was another researcher who has communicated with me personally, mm-hmm. and also with investigators out of Maricopa County, Arizona, okay. who said that when he took his trip out and went to the Hawaii Department of Health, went to the same building, same place, he looked in the 1960 to 64 birth index book, and Mr. Obama's birth was not registered in that book.
Oh,
it was not entered.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So
oh
at this
God.
Later, our partly sponsored researcher went out there and she said, you know, there's some his name's there, but right above his name, and this can be found at the Post and email. Mm-hmm. It's back in our archives now, about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. But there's an entry that says duplicate, and she has some background in statistical analysis, and she said it looks to her as though someone physically manually went in and entered the information that appeared below that word duplicate, which is, who you know, Obama, Barack Hussein, you know, and the birth date August 4 and all of that. And also the header of that book is different. There's a header on that particular book that the other books don't have.
Wow.
Why that appears different, we all kind of wondered. So that just raised even more questions.
Exactly.
And again, the Maricopa County cold case posse, which probably most of the listeners know about, have been out to Hawaii, and they also do have an affidavit from someone who went out there and said when he took his trip in 2009, Mr. Obama's name didn't appear anywhere in the birth index book.
Whoa. Whoa. God, that's really insane. You know, when you think about it, you know, that's some insane stuff. I wonder, you know, how this situation comes. It wouldn't happen with anybody else. I'll just say that it wouldn't happen with anybody else. We'd have the information, and we would, you know what to do and stuff like that. But there's just constant questions about his legitimacy, you know. And I think a lot of this happened with when Reverend Wright, that information was exposed and stuff like that. And then, of course, a lot of people in the media who really were trying to confront this issue, you know, were being beaten down and, you know, advertisements being taken away, you know, from them because they were really, wanting to know the answers to this question. And I think that you guys have done the most extensive research that I've heard about yet, and that is going out there to actually find out what was going on. So that's, you know, this is really some information that we all need to keep abreast of, so that we can find out what's really happening here. But by that time, it may be a little bit too late because he's already into his second term. And there's hardly no way that we're going to be able to get him out of the term that he's in now. I don't know if you know anybody who knows the answer to be able to impeach or whatever.
Well, that's a great set of questions, Ruth. And I have a little information on that. On Friday night, the lead investigator of the Cold Case Posse, which is working with the Maricopa County, Arizona Sheriff's Department, they've been investigating this seriously for more than 18 months, was a guest on Carl Gallup's radio show. It's called Freedom Friday, and it's broadcast over the Internet and in four Gulf Coast states. I was scheduled to call in but could not because I had completely lost my voice, and I was very, very disappointed. And then there were so many listeners that night that the live streaming crashed, I believe. And so I caught up with recordings later that evening. But the very interesting thing about this is that the Cold Case Posse has determined 100%, even 1,000%, that the image presented on April 27th, almost 2 years ago, posted on the White House website, is a forgery. It has been deemed a computer-generated forgery, yes. And so you put that together, and they've made two trips to Hawaii. Mr. Zullo has gone to Hawaii twice, and with another person from the posse. And there is just no one there who can validate that this image is the real thing. But what he's saying is it is not the real thing. And not only that, on March 1st of last year, 2012, Mr. Zullo and Sheriff Arpaio gave a press conference, their first one, and they both said that not only is the long-form birth certificate image a forgery, but the Selective Service Registration Form, which has been mailed out to many parties who sent in a FOIA request for it, I happen to be one of those parties, that is also a forgery. And so it wasn't one piece of information, it was two. I don't want to call it documentation because if it's a forgery, it's not real. Right. So there are some very, very serious problems. And then two private investigators, both of whom I've interviewed and spoken with directly and followed up with since, declared after they ran database searches the way they do professionally that Obama is using a Social Security number from the state of Connecticut where he never worked or lived. So that
I heard something about that. I heard something about that. Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's a lot to this. And now people, I think Congress, they cannot turn away from this much longer because just to finish my thought with Michael Zullo, he and Carl Gallups went to CPAC and they spoke with several congressmen, some of whom have shown themselves to be real cowards in every sense of the word. Several of whom have pledged some kind of promise. You know, they've made a promise to bring this up to a committee or to bring it to the level of a federal investigation. We haven't heard anything back yet. I am in touch with Carl quite often, and he tries to give me a little ping when there's a little bit of news coming, which is really nice. He gives me a heads up. It's great. He's a terrific guy, as is Mr. Zullo. And we just want to get to the bottom of this thing, but what they've suggested is that this is a case of identity fraud and that we have a man in the White House whose identity and background we really do not know.
Wow. Would you do me a favor and make sure you keep me abreast? And I know I'll go on the Post and email, which is a very, very people-friendly site to look up news and information, but you guys are pretty much almost 100% doing the investigation on President Obama and his background. Am I right?
Well, we do spend a lot of our time on that. Now, since all this investigation with the Cold Case Posse has been ongoing, of course, we've reported a lot on that. We've kept in touch with people who are in touch with them. But I will say, to answer your question more fully, we did expand to cover more things because when we saw, I guess I could say when John and I saw that corruption in government had gotten so bad that we had an unknown sitting in the White House basically with his finger on the button, as they say, and making all kinds of decisions on national security issues, which are vital to everyone, we then said, what does that mean about the state of our country? What does that mean about the level of corruption in the courts? And because no court will hear this thing fairly and actually look at the merits. So we expanded the scope of our coverage to many other things, and I can talk about that if you need to take a break or whatever after. But but there are many stories we have covered of you know, local governments breaking laws, breaking rules, taking people's constitutional rights away. And it's actually become very, very much like Nazi Germany or the Soviet Union in many courtrooms today. And many Americans don't know this. They think everything is just fine.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, but it's happening. We are being bombarded on every level. I mean, as people are asking questions, you know, we're finding out that not only our education system, but the entertainment industry, the news, everything is now geared toward propaganda. I know you're probably aware of the most recent movie that just came out with Robert Redford, called The Company That You Keep, which is about the Weather Underground, and George Soros has poured all kinds of money into the entertainment industry, into Robert Redford's production company, to be able to make propaganda movies. So things are happening in so many different areas that America really doesn't know what's happening, and that's one of the things that we're trying to do, too, is make sure we expose what's really happening out there in America, because we're going to have to take our country back and we're going to have to do it in so many different ways. And what my concern is, and maybe you can tell me, is that we have a lot of conservatives like the Koch brothers and, you know, Americans for Prosperity and Sheldon Adelson and all these other people. You know, what you're doing and what we're doing, you know, is all connected. And yet it seems like that you have George Soros and a lot of people like George Soros that are putting a lot of resources into making sure that this propaganda is like this. And that's why the courts are like it is now.
Well, you make some excellent points, and that is absolutely true. We are, the way I see it, we are up against a machine, a propaganda machine.
Absolutely.
And if you do, I've been doing a lot of reading lately, going back into the New York Times archives and other newspapers, looking at the actual articles that were published in 1936 and 1939 and even earlier sometimes, and even during the war. And the level of propaganda was absolutely over the top. I mean, this is what people get in North Korea. I watched a short video earlier this afternoon about a young girl who became a refugee from North Korea. She somehow got to China, and they almost arrested her there for being a North Korean. The police let her go when she could speak fluent Chinese. And it's only a 12-minute video. It's very good. But then she ended up in South Korea, then trying to help her relatives get out of North Korea. They were jailed. And,
This
is what people are going through under these regimes, Cuba and North Korea, and there are a few. Hugo Chavez now is gone, and we don't know what Venezuela is going to look like, but he really ruined that country. When we have a loss of freedom because the media doesn't do its job, you've got an uninformed public, and then you mentioned education, and that trickles down. You've got a machine running the government, running the schools. They've taken over the schools, and they are absolutely indoctrinating our children with filth and with propaganda and with things they do not need to know at those ages, things that should be handled by parents. And I think parents have got to take back local school boards. I think we've all got to stand up and fight, and we have got to say we will not allow this to be done to our children. And if the school boards won't listen, then we take our children and our grandchildren out of the public schools and we educate them.
Well, that's actually where I am. I'm really kind of through with you. You have a lot of people. We can get into a lot of stuff, but there are a lot of people on the chat room that have questions for you, and one of them is a good one. They want to know about you being a harpist, and they wanted to know if you wanted to talk about that. And then someone also made a statement. NC Peter has made a statement that you were visited by the FBI. Am I correct about that?
Yes, I was actually.
Okay, and if you want to
talk about
that.
I can tell you a little bit about that.
Sure,
it's right out in the newspaper. This has to do with a case, and that's a great question. It has to do with a case I've been following for more than 3 years. There's a retired naval commander named Walter Francis Fitzpatrick III who has been demonized and ridiculed incessantly by the left, and they know who they are. They're probably listening. And they are avid Obama supporters and more. It goes farther than that. This goes right up to the White House, and we have proof of that. It's a strong statement, but it's true and it's provable. What had happened was he had found evidence of jury rigging, and he had found it on a table where public documents were kept down in the lower courtroom of the courthouse. And so he picked them up and he mailed them to me. And I called the FBI right away, and I said, I may have evidence of a crime. Now, they could interpret that any way that they want. I called them, and I also emailed them. Nothing happened for 2 months, and then 2 months later, two of them did show up at my door, and I let them in, and I showed them the emails I had sent, and I answered a few questions, and I gave them the papers, and they did show up at his trial, which was a sham trial. To be very brief, it's an area of Tennessee where there is no law and justice. It's called vigilante justice, basically, on the part of the courts. The prosecutors are out of control, and his defense attorney, who was a very fine constitutional attorney, was not allowed to present a defense case. So the jury is out, they deliberate for 7 or 8 minutes, and they come back, they rubber stamp it, they say, yep, he's guilty. Well, because I think, speculation, but because of all the focus that we've placed on his case and the many times that he's been jailed and then let out and jailed and let out, the judge suspended the sentence until after an appeal could be filed, and that's been filed. And, of course, you know, they're trying to raise money to pay for all of these things. He's been punished by the government in many other ways, Commander Fitzpatrick. But this is an egregious example of how government is out of control, and with local people who are evil, working with people at the federal level who are evil and unconstitutional, you're going to get a lot of damage done to our due process. And this is what the Fitzpatrick case has shown. The Monroe County courthouse is full of crooks. It's full of liars. And we have shown them to be jury rigging on several different occasions with written evidence that I've put right out there. So
and
that's why the FBI,
Where's Monroe? Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt, but where's Monroe County?
Sure. Oh, yes. Monroe County it's in the very southeastern part of Tennessee that it just juts up against North Carolina, what would be southwestern North Carolina. But it's been known as a lawless area. Eastern Tennessee, really all of Tennessee, has a lot of court corruption. They have grand jury foremen that stay on for 10 and 20 years, sometimes more.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, that is a very common practice. And when you call the courts, they say, "Oh, well, we do that all the time." You know, they kind of work for the judge. So there's no way that anyone can be unbiased. However, since Commander Fitzpatrick's been exposing this, and he's been doing this relentlessly, there have been some grand jury foremen who have been let go, and there was a bill introduced. I don't think it went anywhere, but one state senator introduced something last session which said, and then actually she did introduce something this year too, that said that a grand jury foreman shouldn't be able to serve for any more than 4 years. Well, a grand jury foreman shouldn't be able to serve for any more than the same length of time as the other jury members. Then he or she should be released along with the other people, and then you pick a whole new jury, and from that they pick.
Absolutely.
But in Tennessee, this is not the way it's done. So, in fact, cases have been invalidated. There was a case in Davidson County not long ago, just a few months ago, where it was determined that the grand jury foreman had been convicted of a felony about 20 years ago and had served as grand jury foreman. So now they are in the process of deciding whether or not to retry hundreds of cases, probably several hundred.
Oh, Lord.
This is not the America that our founders had envisioned and had written out in our founding documents. And I really believe that those were truly inspired by God. And those of us who consider us to be God's children and God's people have to stand up, and we have got to reinstate the rule of law, because this comes right from God. This is what I believe.
Yes. Well, I agree with it too. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on here. It's like, we have to stand up for what this country is, you know, was founded on. The principles are in the Bible. You can see that the principles of the United States were just written out. I mean, they follow the Bible, of course. I mean, you know, because the United States wasn't around at that time. But, I mean, you could tell that the principles of what we stood for, stand for, what our founding founders, were about, that's what this country was supposed to be on. And, boy, we have lost our way in so big a way. I mean, we are in serious trouble, and we've got to work together in order to bring down whatever forces that are trying to keep this country or take it into a socialist, a communist agenda, because that's exactly where we're headed.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. And we do know that George Soros has been very masterful, and he's not alone, I'm sure, but he's been very masterful at devaluing currency and working to bring economies down. He did that in Europe, and he is a socialist at heart, even though he came here and he had the freedom to make massive amounts of money, which, as long as he earned it, that's his. I mean, that's what capitalism does. But trying to make all of us into slaves, paying half of our incomes or more to the government for all kinds of taxes and programs that we don't want, cultural issues that we don't want our children exposed to, it's really horrendous. And we need to stand up and say we're not going to do it. And I do think you're right. The way to do that is to unify. There are quite a few groups. I mean, there are Tea Party groups and all kinds of groups. There's the U.S. Patriots Union that's done a lot. They have gotten a balance of powers committee actually up and running, believe it or not, in the state of Tennessee, where there's all this rife corruption. It appears as though good is trying to balance out evil and conquer evil there by looking at an overreaching federal government and saying, well, this is how we can correct this. And they're going
Sharon? I believe that we have to think the way they think. They are corrupt thugs. And actually, we have to think like they think, like corrupt thugs think. Although we're honest, we have to kind of think on the level that they think on, so that we can know how their tactics are done, so that we can make sure we can cut them off at the neck so they're not able to achieve their goal.
Well, it's unfortunate that you have to say that, but you are right. We unfortunately have had to become better strategists, because you and I don't think that way. We're not thinking about who's the next person who we can bamboozle, or we can ridicule people when they question Obama's birth certificate or his origins or his life story or this birth, you know, everything now that's deemed a forgery. They make fun of us for that, but they can't do that because we know we're right. And we just have to stand up, and we have to decide that we don't care about ridicule. I don't care about what Saul Alinsky did to cause race riots in Rochester, New York, or all these other places where he did this. That's not the way we're going to do it. We're going to become better strategists.
Absolutely.
You know, at this point, they're pretty easy to spot, these fakers, they sign up to my site, and then they pretend that there's something wrong. And I know who they are right off the bat. I can tell. It's games that they play. I don't have time for games. I just boot them out and lock
them. Absolutely.
And,
you have some more questions here in the chat room. I want to know, there's from NC Peter, it says, what does Sharon think about will happen when Patriots are successful and Obama is removed? Will all laws, Supreme Court justices, et cetera, be repealed? How will we take our country back?
Great question. That's dynamite. I do believe that that's going to happen. Mike Zullo had indicated that within 3 to 6 months, if these congressmen they spoke to at CPAC keep their word, and one of them has already backed away and one of them was too cowardly to even get involved, but if they do what they say and an investigation can be launched and something can really be activated and Obama is forced to explain, or someone's forced to explain the forgery. I mean, maybe he didn't do it. They're not accusing him of creating it. But whoever it is, I think all of this will unwind, and I think it will become clear that he ran on a false identity or with false documents or whatever. I think it will take a long time. I think it will be very tumultuous. I do not think there are going to be riots in the streets. That's not how Americans act. When someone breaks the law and needs to be held to account, that can be corrected, and we can all act like adults. And I think there will be the biggest resurgence of Judeo-Christian values and strength and integrity and belief in doing the right thing and enforcing the Constitution and holding our to account to uphold those documents, including judges who may be appointed, there's going to be the biggest resurgence that we've ever seen, because we the people are going to be taking our country back, and we're going to be doing it peacefully.
Absolutely. Okay, I have a question for you, because I was looking at your site and I saw that there were comments being made about Obama. I think it was awful, disgusting how Obama used the Sandy Hook situation in Connecticut to have people on the planes that, you know, he had them on Air Force One and took them around, because he now feels empowered to be able to get his gun laws and rules sealed in Congress. So I wanted to find out what you thought about that.
Well, I did write that story, and, I really strive to keep opinion out of my writing. I'm tough on everybody.
You do a great job, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. I try to really not put my own opinion in, but, I mean, really, giving these parents rise.
Are you there? Sharon, are you there? Did we lose her? I hope we didn't lose Sharon. Okay, everybody in the chat room, don't worry. It seems like that she was dropped, and, you know, I want her to call back. She has a few minutes. I think she can get in. If she can't, you know, then I promise you that I will have her come back on Breaking News Journal on Air Radio so that we can talk some more about it, because I don't like anyone to be able to be on the program and not get their story out and not get your questions answered. She has a lot of information. She's full of a lot of information, and I think that this is a great thing, and I think that she got cut off. And don't worry about it. We'll find out exactly what happened. I'm going to keep this up to see if she can get back in for a few more minutes to see if she can get back in. And if she can't, then what we will do is have her back on Breaking News Journal on Air Radio. I think that so far, from what I can tell in the chat room, you guys were inspired by what Sharon shared. And I think that we will have to have her back based on what everybody is saying. Do you want her to come back? I will have her come back on Breaking News Journal on Air. And I know it seems like it was too short and everything, but hey, you know, we're gonna take care of that, and we'll take care of that. And I really am honored that you all got into the chat room and just made this a discussion. And so, you know, we're going to do this. We'll do this again, and I promise you, I'll have Sharon back. And when I do have her back, I look forward to you guys chiming in the chat room or calling. Okay, and you guys can call if you want to, and we can take care of that as well. So anyway, we look forward to you guys listening to Breaking News Journal on Air Radio again in the near future, and let's keep it going. Be blessed, and I'll talk to you all later.
Come rain, come shine, I meet you, and to me the world is fine. Then I kiss your lips, and the pounding becomes the ocean's roar. When you arouse the need in me, my heart says yes indeed in me. Proceed to tell you that you're marvelous, tell you that you're wonderful again. 'Cause I've got you under my skin, and I love you under my skin.